pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this day, Resurrection Sunday. Lord, really, every day is a resurrection day because you have risen and you are risen. And we thank you for that and everything that that means. And Lord, we ask that this morning that you would give us even a greater understanding of what we're celebrating today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, well, today is Resurrection Sunday. Christians around the world are celebrating that Jesus has and is risen from the dead. This morning, I checked Facebook, because I do a couple times a day, because I have a lot of people who only correspond with me, like in Europe, through Facebook. And it's amazing, all the beautiful pictures, quotes, photos, concerning Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And some of them were really good. In fact, I spent more time than I usually do just scrolling down, and I saw them in Spanish, I saw them in Italian, I saw them in French, I saw them in Russian. And it's just, there's a sense that around the world today, people are celebrating the resurrection. And that's what we're doing here too. Last week, Palm Sunday, we talked about preparing the way of the King. And really, when you think about, well, one of the main themes in all of Scripture is the King is coming. And that's Old Testament and New Testament. And actually, the King is coming could really be divided into two stages. The first stage is He came 2,000 years ago to be the sacrifice for our sins and to give us new life. And He's coming again, probably soon, to actually set up His kingdom in its fullness. And the two are very related. Even the songs we sang this morning, you know, some of them talked about His coming and He will be coming, because they're very related as far as His purpose. In fact, I'd just like to start off with just sort of giving the bigger plan of God. God had in mind from the very beginning a kingdom which would reign forever. And the kingdom, in Jesus' first coming, Jesus set up, and it would be something that would begin in the hearts of individuals. It wasn't going to be with, capital cities and armies and things like that. When the King came the first time, He was going to come and begin in the hearts of individuals. And that's unlike any other kingdom, you know, because this kingdom is actually a way of life. And God wanted to make sure it would influence us first. This kingdom would enter into our hearts. It would grow within the lives of the disciples of the kingdom. And then it began to spill over, touching more and more lives, reaching to all the peoples and nations of the world. And that's exactly what's been happening the last 2,000 years. And all of us together form what He calls the church. Literally, that means the called out ones. And to the church, God would be given, He would give the mission to spread the news of the kingdom of God and to prepare us for the way of His second coming, in which He would set up His kingdom in fullness. Now, the kingdom's already here. It's within our hearts. But there's going to be a day when He comes back, He's going to set it up in fullness. And His kingdom will reign forever and ever. And those of us who are preparing the way will reign with Him forever and ever. And Jesus will be King. Jerusalem will be the city of the great King once more. But actually, when He came the first time, He came as a king too. Remember in Zechariah 9:9, we talked about this last week. We may even have it up here. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. And he's talking about him coming on a donkey. So Jesus came as a king the first time too. Actually, in Luke 2, the angels, they sang about the king. And in John 18, when Jesus was before Pilate, and Pilate said, "They say that you claim to be a king. Are you a king?" And he says, "Yes, I am." And he says, "Well, where's your kingdom? You know, you're a king, you should have a kingdom." And what did he say? He said, "My kingdom is not of this earth. It's in the heavens, at least right now." And Pilate said, "I don't see anything wrong with this man." Pilate probably thought he's a little quacky, but, you know, not anything to deserve death. And he let him go until they kind of sent it back to him. So Jesus came as a king. But you might ask, well, wait a minute. Isn't a king supposed to rule something? Isn't he supposed to conquer something? Isn't that the part of being a king? After all, when Jesus ascended into heaven, the Romans were still there in power. Well, Jesus is a king, and Jesus the king is a conqueror, even today. Jesus is born as a man, born as an infant. He grew up. He lived a completely godly and holy life. He taught us how to live, how to walk, how to know God as our Father. He demonstrated who He was by the miracles He did, how He helped people. And then He went to the cross for us. And at the cross, with His death and resurrection, He conquered sin. He is a conqueror. He conquered Satan and the kingdom of darkness. And He conquered death. Jesus conquered death because He conquered sin. So He is a conqueror. He is a king. In fact, what He conquered is much greater than all the conquering accomplishments of all the kings in all of history put together. Because you think about it, you know, great warriors, conquerors. Napoleon, he conquered most of Europe, but after about 12 years, he lost it all. Alexander the Great, he conquered a big area of the world. He died when he was 33 years old. And it was less than 12 years, I think about 10 years, that he had conquered everything. And then he died. And then his kingdom just kind of fizzled away. But Jesus conquered death. No one else has been able to do that. You know, and not only just death for one person or a few people, but for all people in all generations, whoever receives Him. That is a conqueror. So Jesus is king and He is a conqueror. Jesus conquered Satan by conquering death. The purpose of Satan on this earth is to bring death. Physical death, spiritual death, right? So therefore, Satan is always stirring up hatred, suspicion of one another, war, terrorism, murder, suicide. He tries to get our minds on death through movies and music, video games, you know, celebrations of death, like Halloween and Dia de los Muertos, you know, through the arts, abuse of all kinds, because it's killing people, you know. That's why, you know, abuse, you know, chemical abuse, drug abuse, you know, self-abuse. It's all part of Satan's plan to try to kill. Kill, steal, and destroy, Jesus said, was the purpose of Satan. And so Satan lies, he cheats, he deceives in order to bring death. Jesus, on the other hand, his purpose is to bring life. Physical life, spiritual life, Zoe, we've talked about that, eternal life. So that's the purpose of Satan and Jesus. And so Jesus, by bringing life, conquers death. At the cross, and specifically at the resurrection, Jesus conquered death. Actually, let's take a look at John chapter 11. This is in Bethany. And Jesus is gone to the home of Mary and Martha. And their brother Lazarus has died. And this took place, about a week, maybe a week and a half, before Jesus went to the cross and was resurrected. And what happens in Bethany is really like a preview of what God was wanting to do. So let's look at verse 23. We won't read the whole story. He's talking to Martha, and Jesus says to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And then Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." That means even if we die, we're going to keep living. "And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe in this?" And then as a proof that he is the resurrection and the life, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And everyone is astounded. And it was like a preview of what was going to happen to him. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Physical, spiritual, eternal life. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, starting in verse 20. "But now Christ has been raised from the dead," hallelujah, "the first fruits of all who are asleep. For since by a man came death," that was Adam, "because he brought sin into the world, and because he brought sin into the world, he brought death. By man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." I like that. "So also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits," he was going to be the first one to be resurrected. "After that, those who are Christ at his coming." Are you Christ? Are you in Christ? That means at his coming, you will be resurrected up. You know, and then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power. For he must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. See, at the resurrection, death was conquered. And at his second coming, death will be totally abolished. Today there's still death, isn't there? It doesn't have victory over us. Because it's already been conquered for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. But there's going to be a day when death, all death, is going to be completely abolished. By his resurrection, Jesus made the promise that we too will be resurrected to new life, eternal life. Let's look at verse 51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery." This is talking about the second coming. "We will not all sleep, but we all will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." By the way, there's a number of trumpets. We'll talk about that in our class. "But at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." In other words, we'll be resurrected. We could be dead 300 years, 1,000 years, but we will be raised imperishable. We will be changed. "For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. For when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal would have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?' The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sting of death has been removed for us. Why? Because He conquered death for all of us. I mean, what greater blessing, what greater act of conquering could be greater? To us, living in this age, we all face death, don't we? You know, by the way, death can come early. Sometimes it can come unexpectedly. It doesn't really play fair, does it? Death is something that we all fear. All mankind fears. And it can just come up unannounced. We all know people. My mom's a good example. She died when I was in my 20s. Something like 30-something years ago. And she died of cancer. And you know, it's easy to say, wait a minute, that's not fair. Death isn't playing fair. She should have been able to kind of have a normal life. She should have been able to kind of see her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But you know what? That's death. And we all know people who died prematurely. I think Bobby's older and Patty's older brother died when Bobby was, how old were you? Like 1 or 2 years old? 2 years old. You know, why? We don't know, but in this age, death is still around. But now, death has been conquered. We may not see it yet, but we have the promise. This is the way God designed the sending of His Son, Jesus, to be King. It would begin by the conquering of death, man's greatest enemy. And therefore, Satan would be conquered. This would allow us to begin to live in a way that would glorify God. It would be a message we would pass on to the rest of the world. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. Starting in verse 13. It says, He has made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. He canceled out the debt of certificate, or the certificate of debt that we all had, and nailed it to the cross. Remember, I think we talked about this verse or a message once. You know, there's a long list of decrees against us, our sins. In fact, I think we maybe have another slide there. Yeah, that's, we're guilty. You know, and it's a long, long list for most of us. But you know what? Jesus took them all up, and He nailed Him to the cross. You know? And that certificate of debt, by the way, it pronounced our death judgment. So when He nailed it to the cross, it was gotten rid of. And because there's no sin, when He looks down on us, then, therefore, we can live. And He, I like that verse, it says, He disarmed the rulers and authorities. He's talking about satanic powers. He triumphed over them, over the kingdom of darkness. Let's look at one more verse, passage. Well, maybe a couple more. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death, He might render powerless him who had the power of death. That is the devil. He had the power of death. And He kind of flaunted it all around the world. And might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Because this world is full of people who are fearing death right now. And you know what? God has, through what Jesus did, has conquered death for all of us who believe. He becomes the resurrection and the life to us. He made the devil, who had that power of death, powerless at what he did at the cross. His death took away the sting of death. He conquered death and the power of the devil. Yeah, he's still around. The devil's still around. Yeah, death is still around, but it has no power anymore. Because if one of us die, you know what? We just kind of just get promoted into the eternal life. Death has been conquered. Actually, I like this verse in Revelation chapter 1. It says, starting in verse 17, John's having a vision. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet, talking about the feet of Jesus, like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the living one." I like that. "And I'm the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades." Jesus has the keys to death and Hades. You know, Hades is what? Another word for what? Hell, right? You know, no other king, no other ruler, no politician, no religious leader who's ever lived has those keys. It's only Jesus who has those keys. And he has set us free from hell and from death. A beautiful picture there. Beautiful picture. In fact, all through the book of Revelation, the focus is on what? The Lamb who was slain. That's kind of a phrase in one of our songs this morning. The Lamb who was slain. And the book of Revelation says, "Give glory and honor and praise to Him. Worthy is the Lamb, because He has purchased us with His blood." Hallelujah. That's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. He's purchased us with His blood. Death no longer has its power over us. By the way, that's why martyrs throughout the history of the church have spoken so loud. In the early church, whenever people were killed, it seemed like the church grew. And the Romans couldn't understand that. The Jews couldn't understand that. All the anti-Christian people in all the centuries can't understand that. That's because when people are martyred, you can tell it on their face. There's no fear. God gives them a grace. In fact, even a lot of you have probably seen this picture. Happened probably less than a year ago in Libya. Christians, they were beheaded. Since then, Christians all around the Middle East have this picture circulating. That's right. Death has no power over us. And you know what? Muslims are coming near the Lord like never before in the Middle East. And, you know, ISIS thinks that they are destroying Christianity by killing Christians. It's just really spreading Christianity, because the message is loud and clear that death has no power over us. That is powerful, brothers and sisters. And by the way, that's going to be one of the strongest messages in the last days. There's going to be, unfortunately, or maybe it's a good thing, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to give their lives up. And it's going to be, and Christianity is just going to grow because of it. It's not going to shrink. And there's martyrs, there's a power in there. It's people who give up their lives for their faith. There is no fear of death any longer. It is this power over death that should also be giving us the motivation to live for Him and to give up the treasures of this world. They no longer matter. Our eyes are on eternal things. death no longer has power over us. And when we get a hold of this, it makes us want to live for Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us. In other words, Christ's love for us, it possesses us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. He died for all, that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. See, when we really begin to capture what Jesus has done for us, how He's conquered death for us, how He's conquered sin for us, it gives us a motivation to live for Him like we've never done before. Romans 8, 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, those Christians in Libya? You know, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Because we are free. He has conquered death. And then going down to verse 37, it says, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, that's talking about demonic things too, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will separate us from His love. And now we overwhelmingly conquer through Him. Brothers and sisters, I'm speaking to those who've received the gift of eternal life, the gift of new life. The kingdom of God is on its way. It's already started in our hearts. And the message is being proclaimed around the world. From Libya to France to Mexico to Venezuela to China to India. People are proclaiming the words of eternal life and how death has been conquered by our King. That's our mission. And Jesus, our King, will be coming back probably soon to set up His kingdom in fullness. And at that time, God's glory is going to flood this world. There'll be an end to all war and all famine and all hatred and all corruption and all injustice and all silly politicians. You know, death will be abolished and all suffering too. The scriptures say no more tears. So for now, what do? We work for His return. We are His ambassadors, representing the kingdom that is coming and already transforming lives. At the cross, with His death and resurrection, which we celebrate today, Jesus conquered sin. Jesus conquered Satan. Jesus conquered death. That's the message that we proclaim and we share with everyone. I'd like for us to close with a song that, as I was kind of just thinking about how